It's bonus time here on the Gill Connections podcast. In an effort to increase communication, empathy, and understanding around the country, we're going to be running a new episode every day, interviewing a coach, a high school coach from every state, and yes, even you, Washington, D.C., with explaining how the state qualifying system works in their state. We'll be talking with a local state expert on how many classes, private versus public schools, what events, and what is the process? Is it areas, districts, regionals, state meet? Is it a descending order list? Are there fun things that you do a little differently? Like maybe you, I don't know, maybe you do double points for relays. Looking at you, Texas. And then we're also going to get to the bottom of, is it the state meet or do you qualify for states? So check us out every day here in April and May of 2024 as we run through each state with a local state expert. So let's get started right now. Okay, today, as we meander our way through this state project, we're looking at all the outdoor track and field state qualifying series. Today, we're going to head to the Gem State, the beautiful state of Idaho. We've got Brian from Capitol High School representing the great state of Idaho. Brian, why don't you start by introducing yourself for us?
Yeah, my name is Brian Stith. I'm the head coach at Capitol High School in Boise, Idaho. It is the only high school I've ever coached at. This is my 24th season at Capitol High, and it'll be my 15th season as head coach.
Wow, 24 years, man. That's something to be said. Very good. Very good. Okay, so in Idaho, in some states, they have a separate governing body for private schools and state public schools. So they, you know, the private schools maybe go, they have their own route to a private school state meet and publics do their other way. What do we do in Idaho, private and public schools?
We don't have any separation.
Okay.
Everything's just based on enrollment. And so all of our public and private, they compete against each other just strictly based on enrollment. We do have some private schools that actually compete up versus their enrollment. There's a high school here in Boise that's called Bishop Kelly. They would traditionally be enrollment wise a 3A school, but they, due to their competitive nature, they actually compete up a level at the 4A level in Idaho. So, but across the state, no, everybody's public and private, they all compete together.
They're all going for the same trophy. Perfect. Okay, great. And in Idaho, how many classes and what do you call your classes? A, double A, whatnot?
So this year will be the last year where we have five classifications in the state of Idaho. Next year, we actually are adding a classification. So we've been 1A being the smallest category all the way up to 5A, which is the category, that the classification that my school, Capitol, competes in. Next year, we are going to add a classification. We're adding the 6A, and there will be a greater that they're getting a lot, they're allowing the smaller schools to kind of get separated. The 2A category in Idaho is now shifting a little bit. It's been the largest division in Idaho for a very long time, almost 60 schools, which is a lot for Idaho. I feel like that if you compare ourselves to some of our neighboring states. Mm-hmm. But now we're going to get a little bit more consistency across all six classifications. The lower ones are still going to have more. I think 1A is going to have 36 schools in it. 2A will have 35. And then as it grows from there, I think it'll be like, it's around 28, then 20, and then 25 and 22, maybe 23. Again, though, schools can petition up. They can also petition down based on their demographics, their what type of financial situation they have, competitive nature. The state of Idaho does allow that. I don't think, though, anyone is going to petition to go down for track and field. I think everybody's going to try to stick to the classification that they're moving to based on their enrollment.
All right. So currently we have five classes, 1A through 5, 1 being the smaller schools in enrollment, 5 being the larger. Next year, we're going to move to 6 classes. So we're going to hand out 6 boys team titles and 6 girl team titles next year, 5 and 5 this year. All right. Excellent. Love that. How about, what is the process to make it to state? Where is the first of the series, whether it's sectionals, areas, divisional? There's all these different names for these meets. What's our first round in Idaho?
I print really simple in Idaho. We have one track meet. They make it to state. You have a district championship meet, and you qualify for state through that track meet. The only other way you can get in the state meet is if you have somehow become sick or injured and you get in on a hardship. That is the only other way to get to the state meet. We do not have any automatic qualifying times or distances. If you're healthy, you have to compete at the district meet, and that's how you get to the state meet.
All right, so we have district. We call it district. How many athletes per event can you enter as a school?
Four max. Just okay. Your traditional, you know, if you want to do four individuals, that's fine. You want to do two and two with two relays, that's fine. But there's no more than you can enter is four.
No, I'm sorry. For you at Capital, how many 100-meter runners can you enter into districts? How many milers? Yep.
Automatic qualifying times for our district meet is based on we use an average of the last 3 years from our conference. I'm in the largest district in the state, District 3. We have 14 teams in my district that make up 14 of the 22 in 5A. I'm actually in charge of the qualifying standards. So we go back and we look at the 24th place average over the last 3 years prior to the district meet, and we shift or keep the standard from there. So if you hit the auto qualifying to our district meet, you're in the district meet no matter what. So if I had 10 boys in the 100-meter dash qualify on the auto, they're all going to district. If we don't fill the 24 automatic qualifying standards or automatic qualifiers, we'll wild card from there. If you hit the standard, though, we'll go above 24. So there's been a year, we had a crazy year 2 years ago in the 800, in the boys 800, we had 41 boys in 800 meter. So yeah, we ran two different heats and cut it off at 20. I think we put 20 in the fast and 21 in the slower, but that got a little hectic.
So this is unique. So you're saying for the first round before you go to states, the only round before states is district. And mm-hmm. to qualify for districts, the more, I'm going to say common way is each team gets two or three or four entries per event. You're saying, no, we calculate a qualifying time, and any athlete during the school year, during the track season, hits that qualifying time or distance or height, you get to, if you choose, you can declare, if you will, for the district meet. And if you have 40 something 800 meter runners, then we're going to have 40 something distance 800 meter runners in districts, and we're going to pare it down.
Absolutely.
Awesome. How about, okay, that's awesome. I love that. That's very interesting. It's very unique. I like that aspect. How many, what places qualify from district to the state meet?
So every different classification has a different amount of districts. So for like our track meet for 5A, we only have three district qualifying meets that go to the state track meet. Other classifications, because they have more schools, they might have four or five district track meets, maybe. And I think last year, maybe 2A, I think 2A had five, which is the most that would come. And so their qualification, the amount of qualifiers they get to the state meet is different than ours.
Okay.
So it definitely varies.
Give us your example. You said you have three districts. So are they taking top four, or what are they doing for three districts?
So I'll give you the breakdown on ours because I know it so well.
Right.
So there's 23 schools right now in 5A. 13 of them come from my district. And then there's a district up in northern Idaho where Coeur d'Alene, Idaho is. There's four schools in that district. And then on the other side, I think there's I think it's six on the east side of the state over near Wyoming. Mm-hmm. And so my district, we get an automatic five relays to state, and we get 10 kids to the state track meet out of our district, which is 13 schools.
And the other districts have less.
So they get less.
Got it. Okay. So it's even unique amongst the district. So not only do you have different number of districts per 1A, 2A, 3A, et cetera. Based on the size of that district, they will prorate, might be the right word, the number of qualifiers. So it's not like the top two of each district and then a list. It's like, no, this is the bigger district. So 10 are going to come out of this one. We only have six schools in this one. So only two or whatever might that number be. How many are they trying to get to the state meet? Are they trying to get 24? What number?
I love your number. I wish it was 24. Unfortunately, in Idaho, we're stuck at 16 right now.
That was probably that was probably the smarter number, actually.
Well, yes and no. We've actually, for the last 5 years pre-COVID, we've actually proposed almost every single year to get the amount of state qualifiers to 24. There's a very strong, especially at the 5A level, the highest classification, there's a very strong amount of talent in our district. And we've seen it in the past where the 11th, 12th, 13th ranked girl or boy in the mile or 800 gets left home. And we've even had it where the 32nd ranked kid in the state makes it to the state meet instead of, the 11th or 12th ranked kid.
Yeah.
So it's just unfortunate from that perspective. So we're just trying to find a more equivalency and an opportunity for kids to earn what they deserve, right? And make it to the state meet. So we're working on that.
Yeah. So you're trying to get 16 to the state so you can run two heats, two semis of the 100, get your eight finalists, things like that.
And that's what we do right now. Yep. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what we have for state meet right now. There's eight. There's two in all the prelims. It's eight and eight. Yep. On the sprints. Yep. Same with the jumps and the throws. That's just the way it goes right now.
Yeah.
But we'd love to make it 24.
Sounds good. So let's talk about that state meet. Talk to us about the format. Do we do all five currently? And maybe you give us a little bit of, if you know, what might look like next year with six classes. Do we do all five classes at one venue and it's been the same venue for 40 years? Do we move around? Do we do small schools at one place? What are we doing here for our state meet venue location?
So for the longest period of time, up until the emerging birth of Boise State football in the late 2000s, all five classifications held the state track meet at Boise State University at the Boise State track. It was awesome. 3 days of track and field, all five classifications. 5A and 4A would compete on Thursday and Friday. We'd go Thursday for our prelims, Friday for all the finals. Friday morning, 1A, 2A, and 3A would come in. They'd all stick around to watch the finals of 5A and 4A, and then they'd come back Saturday for their final day. Unfortunately, Boise State's success in football prompted them to remove the track inside Bronco Stadium. So at that point, we had to separate the state track meet. There wasn't a venue in the state large enough to handle all five classifications over a 3-day period. So 5A and 4A have been together for about the last decade. And that at times has been at a high school here in the Treasure Valley in the Boise area. I'll refer to it as the Treasure Valley. That's the Boise metro area. Sometimes it's at Donna Larson Park, which is Boise State's practice track. Their facility that they work on. It's a good, fantastic facility for performing at. It's not the greatest facility for spectators. Sight lines aren't very good. The throws, it's tough to see the discus and the shot from inside the stadium. It's tough to see the horizontal jumps as well. But great track, good surface. Parking's an issue, but that's another conversation. Mm-hmm. 1A, 2A, and 3A are out at Middleton High School, which is right now probably the best high school venue in the state of Idaho. Tremendous facility, really, really good track. It's fast. They've been breaking state records of that track at the state meet for years now, just because of its, I think they put down a polyurethane. It's a much quicker service. And so 1, 2, and 3 are out there. It's sad because we've had some really talented kids that ran out there. This last year, fortunately, Gatlin Bear, who was the one of the big stories of the this past track season, he was a 3A athlete for the longest of times. So 4 and 5A, we didn't get to see him. And then he decided to transfer schools going into his junior year, and he ended up at a 4A school last year. So he was the big talk of the town at the 4A and 5A meet. And obviously everybody, if you saw what he did at those meets, he shattered our state records in the 100, the 200. And that was a joy to watch. But it is unfortunate. We've had some really talented kids run 3A, 2A, and 1A. And so us 4A and 5A coaches and spectators, we don't get to see those kids. Mm-hmm. But for now, we'll probably won't be at Boise State's track. We'll probably be at another high school. We've been at Mountain View High School last year. I believe we're going to be there again. And then the 3A, 2A, 1A will stay at Middleton. In regard to the classification changes, I don't know what they're going to do. We're going to have six different classifications now. I don't know if the 3, 4, and 5 will be together. That's probably the smarter thing to do. And then have 1, 2, and 3 together.
Mm-hmm. Now that it's split, you used to do a 3-day meet. Are those meets now 2-day meets now that we split them?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. They're just 2-day meets.
Yeah. Makes sense. Makes sense. What about, and this is always a hard question because you're in it, so it's not unusual for you or unique. What unique events do you do? You know, I gave you a list of what the kind of the common races and relays and field events are. Anything we do uniquely there in Idaho?
Yeah, a little bit. So we have 4 relays, which is a little bit more, you know, uncommon versus the traditional 2. 5A, which is my division, we have the 4x8, and no one else in the state has it. So we have the 4x800.
So 5A has 4 relay events.
And so does everybody else. But we have the 4x8.
Okay.
Everybody below us has the sprint medley.
Oh, okay. All right. So let's make sure we hear this right. So for 5A, the large school, you've got the 4x1, the 4x2. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. 4x4, of course. You better.
Of course.
We'll kick you out of the NFHS if you don't have the 4x4. And then you have the 4x8. Is that new or has that been tradition, 4x8?
So we decided to go with the 4x8. I want to say it's been since 2008 or 2009.
Okay. So I'll call that new still. That's not.
Yeah. It's 15 years or so.
Now, the 1, 2, 3, and 4. They have the 4x1. They have the 4x2.
Correct.
They, of course, have the 4x4. But now, instead of the 4x8, they have the sprint medley.
Yep.
And now, the sprint medley is one of these weird relays. It is run a lot of different ways. How do we run it in Idaho?
So, genders run it differently.
So see, girls... it's always unique. All right, here we go. Yep. How are the girls running it?
So, the ladies run 100, 100, 200, 400.
Okay.
And the gentlemen run 200, 200, 400, 800.
I love track and field. This is awesome. Okay. Question, and you may not be able to answer this. Next year, when we go to 6A, what happens? Does 5A stay 4x8? Does 6A not do any of those relays? Or do they do sprint? Do they do 4x8? Do they say, you know what? We're going to go crazy. We're going to run the DMR.
So this, I'd love to do the DMR. That'd be awesome. I'd much rather prefer that over the 4x800. So 6A will definitely stick with the 4x800. All of the majority of almost all the schools that are going to 6A are our 5A schools right now. So we will hold on to the 4x800. Last year in 4A, which will be 5A next year, the 4A, there was a petition for 4A to try to move to the 4x800. A lot of the distance coaches felt like it just gave the kids, more distance kids, a chance to participate at the state meet, which it does. Yeah, absolutely, it does. It got shot down. Too many sprint coaches, too many football coaches, coaching track, that want to still stick with the sprint medleys. So I'm assuming 5A down next year, we'll all still stick with the sprint medleys. I really do. Even though I have to say, ever since we adopted the 4x800, our distance running in our division has exploded. We had Nathan Green, that was NCAA champion this year in the 1500. He's from Boer High School here. Absolutely, him running 800 all the time made him such a great miler in high school.
Any other unique events? Do you run the 1632 or do you run the mile, 2 mile, 15, 3000? What are you doing in those two events?
Now we're at 1600, 3200.
1632.
Yep. 3200 is on the first day, 1600 is the second day.
You run 300 hurdles.
We do run 300 hurdles. Yep.
We got with the relays. You do all the traditional. So boys and girls, this is somewhere it's a little bit different. A couple of states. Boys and girls both doing triple jump?
Absolutely.
Pole vault for both?
Pole vault for both.
Perfect. Do we do the javelin in Idaho?
So 2024 javelin is an exhibition event in the state of Idaho. We're super excited about it. I'm a javelin guy. And so I'm really thrilled that we finally got it passed. Big shout out to TJ Crater and Bud Rasmussen, all those guys up there at Ironwood.
Great guys, yes.
Yep, good friends of mine. TJ was a college teammate of mine. So absolutely thrilled that they were been pushing it with support from a lot of us around the state. And so it'll be exhibition in 2024, and then it'll be a full scoring event in 2025, all classifications. So we're really excited about that.
That was going to be my next question. All classes, or do you skip it out on a few? Okay, great. Yep. Anything else at the state meet, like the sprint medley and things like that, that we're doing that are unique?
Only thing is that it may be, to me, it's unique. I don't like it, but I'll bring it up. We literally have the three fast relays all on the last day. So we run the 4x2, the 4x1, and the 4x4 all on the final day of the track meet. Okay. And that's murder's row on a sprinter's leg. So pretty tough.
At some states after the official state meet, so after we've given our team titles, the teams have earned those, they do, and usually maybe an athletic the coaches association or something does an unofficial state meet, whether it's a meet of champs, so you maybe take the top two of each one of the classes and race them, or they do a heptathlon decathlon, an official state meet, or hammer, anything like that in Idaho?
We used to have the Micron Meet of Champions back in the late 90s and early 2000s, but it went away and it just never got rebirthed. So no, once the state meet is concluded, that's the end of our season. Most of the time, if we look for anything, you know, our more high profile kids, they'll look to Nike, maybe the Great Southwest. That's a good track meet for us to get to.
We're learning more and more that states are adding adaptive athletes. Any wheelchair races or adaptive shot put or anything for the state meet?
Absolutely. If we have kids that are competing in anything adaptive, we've done them in the past. I actually had a gentleman graduate 3 or 4 years ago, wheelchair. Fantastic experience for him. What an amazing person he was to have on my track team, not to mention what he did for my kids and what we did for him. He raced his freshman year actually in his real wheelchair. Mom and dad were trying to figure out how to get him into a racing chair, and then his sophomore through his senior year we got him in a racing chair, and what a tremendous experience it was for all of us. We got to learn how to write wheelchair workouts for him appropriately, and then it was great, because we have actually a gentleman here in town that is an adaptive wheelchair racing professional athlete, and so he mentored him through everything. It was a fantastic experience, and we have had adaptive shot put as well. A young man who was in his wheelchair, he did shot, and then we do contest those. We do unified in the middle of our track meet. We will have the unified for the Special Olympic kids. Mm-hmm. But if we have a Paralympic athlete, we'll do everything we can to actually make sure that the adaptive athlete is included in our state track meet.
Very cool. Love that. Now let's settle a debate, at least based on you and your culture and your team or your area of Idaho. What do we do in Idaho? How do we say it? Are we trying to qualify for the state meet? Are we trying to qualify for states? Or is it just state? How do we say it there in Idaho?
We're going. When I see one of my kids punch their ticket, I would say you're going to state.
State, singular.
I just state. Yep, uh-huh. You're going to the state meet. I've never heard anyone in Idaho ever call it states. That's not something I've been doing this for a long time. I'm an Idaho kid. I grew up doing Idaho track and field. No one's ever called it states.
I think so far, I'm not going to keep data. I'm going to ask for listeners, as you know, this is April and May of 2024 that we're publishing all of these day after day after day, every new one, every single day. I'm going to ask, there's going to be some data scientist listening that's a coach. And I want them to do the data, because I think right now it's still early. This is very early. You know, we're only in the eyes here. I think state singular is winning. is winning. I really do.
Yeah, that wouldn't shock me.
And that was a new one to me, though. I always thought of state meet or states. That's the two I heard on the old Twitter. But this state has come roaring from back and is definitely good. Leading nice, so far. All right. So, Brian, I'm going to give you a magic wand, and you get one and only one. If you could change something about the Idaho High School outdoor track and field qualifying, the state meet, events, things like that, what's one thing you might change for the greater good of the sport there in Idaho?
Definitely, in my opinion, the number one thing, we should have automatic qualifying standards for the state meet.
So not just the number of kids in the district, because that changes, but also, okay, it would be tougher than what it was to get in the districts. Obviously, that would be an additional. That way that ninth kid isn't getting left out, that example you gave earlier.
Right, right. Or if you've got a really talented jumper and they foul all three jumps at the district meet, but, you know, say I've got a 47-footer in the triple jump for the boys and they foul all three jumps. And now their season's over just because of one track meet, even though they're maybe, you know, top 25 in the country.
So let's explore this in the little time that we have left. You're not saying out of the district meet necessarily that if they jumped 58 feet in the third track meet, triple jump here, third track meet of the outdoor season, and they foul at divisions, that they should go divisionals, they should go districts, they should go to the state meet, because 58 would make it for sure.
Right, right, right.
So what happens then? Why wouldn't that fit, again, just using this hypothetical 58-foot triple jumper, why wouldn't they just skip districts then and say, hey, I've already got the automatic qualifier, I'll see you next week at state?
Well, you could. I think that's a possibility, but yeah. I would support that. I mean, I think if you're that type of kid, our sport's a championship sport. If you're going to go try to be the state champion, you should be district champion too. Yeah. But I have, there's been some casualties where a kid just underperforms or no heights in the pole vault.
Yeah.
Those type of things that to me, that's troubling. It's hard for me to see a kid's season being ruined
for sure
off of, something so small.
Yeah. And you could include a honest effort at the districts as well. You could say, hey, 58 footer, you still got to compete at districts. And if you happen to false start and or whatever, you can qualify, but you have to at least go to district. And yeah, that's interesting. That's an interesting take. I love that. Awesome. Right.
And I think too, to qualify for the state meet, I would say it would probably be mandatory that you have to qualify, that you have to compete in the districts in that event.
You can add an honest effort at the districts, right? Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Perfect. Brian, man, thank you so much. As we continue to dive through 51, even you, Washington, D.C., we have not forgotten you, states. It continues to be fascinating. I love what we're learning in each state. I think this relay thing, that's super interesting. That's super unique that we have not heard yet, as we are just in the eyes as we continue to move through. So, Brian, thank you so much. Appreciate your leadership and stepping up to represent the state of Idaho. It's a great state. I've been there many, many times. It's beautiful. Coeur d'Alene, get out of here. If you've never been, you got to go. But, Brian, thank you so much for just giving us some behind the scenes and letting us understand more about Idaho track and field for the high school outdoor season.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it.